Listening Library presents I Was a Non-Blonde Cheerleader by Kieran Scott. Read for you by Jill Apple.
Chapter 1. First Day of School. First Day of School! Hadn't I already had one of these in September? What kind of sadistic star had I been born under that I got to have two? Two versions of the most stress-inducing day of the year. I stood outside the back door of Sand Dune High and wondered what exactly I was doing here. This was Florida. I was a Jersey girl. I'd only been here 5 days and already the top of my nose was starting to peel, and that was with daily applications of SPF 15. It was so warm out at 8 a.m., that I had already managed to sweat through my black t-shirt on the short walk to school. And according to the huge banner that was hung across the bleachers by the football field, the school mascot was a mighty fighting crab. I mean, come on, the crabs? I had already made up about 10 STD jokes to keep on reserve for parties and lagging conversations. Okay, be positive, Anissa. It's not like you haven't done this before, I told myself. My family had moved around the Northeast all my life, as my dad, Professor Gabrowski, to his colleagues, tried on English department after English department. I had started at plenty of new schools. This was nothing new. Okay, well, maybe it was a little new. After all, the last move had been almost 4 years ago, allowing me ample time to settle in and make friends that I now missed with an ache previously unknown to my body. And I was used to brick buildings, changing leaves, slush and rain and angry bus drivers. This school was very Florida, with its whitewashed stucco walls, Spanish tile roof, and palm tree-lined walks. But it was just a school, right? There were teachers and students and books in there. How different could it be? I reached up to touch my signature fashion item, the rhinestone clip that had always held back my short brown hair. It acted as a kind of pacifier in moments like these, a reminder that wherever I went, I was still me. I took a deep breath. Here goes nothing. The noise inside hit me like a sharp wind. People darted across the hallway, a couple of guys slapped hands while a few girls bent over an open magazine. Everyone unfamiliar, everyone nameless. How was I going to do this? Okay, the first step is always the hardest, I told myself. So I took it. I stepped over the threshold into my new school, and my toe caught the lip of the step. My heart shot into my throat. I flew forward. The floor rushed up at me, and all I could think was, Sand Dune High, here I come. This was going to hurt, I knew from experience. But before I could hit the ground, a pair of strong hands grabbed my arm and I was saved from utter humiliation. A few people still snickered around me, but it was so much better than it could have been. I looked up to thank my savior and my throat totally dried up. Maybe it was just the effects of hero worship, but the phrase, humana, 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 comes to mind. Are you okay? My knight in faded Abercrombie asked, releasing me. I smoothed down the front of my t-shirt and tried not to look anyone directly in the eye. My face was burning red. Bones intact, ego slightly bruised, I said. I'll have that step removed by the end of the day, he joked. Thanks. You can do that? I have powers beyond your understanding, he replied, a mischievous glint in his bluer-than-blue eyes. I'm Daniel Healy, by the way. Daniel Healy was yum. He was taller than me, but not too tall. Actually, the exact perfect height for slow dancing kind of tall. He had light brown hair with obviously natural blonde highlights that matched the sun-bleached wisps on his tanned arms and legs. He was wearing long denim shorts, a faded red short-sleeved button-down with the first few buttons open, and a single shell on a black cord around his neck. And his smile? Whoa, mama! A few lines formed above Daniel Healy's perfect-shaped nose. He looked a little bit disturbed. Unfortunately, I get that a lot. And you are? He asked. Nice one, Gabrowski, I said to myself. I gave him my best self-deprecating doofy me laugh. Anissa Gabrowski, I said. Don't call me Annie, or I can't be responsible for my actions. My stomach dropped when I saw his shocked face. Misfire. Back home, that usually got a laugh. Did people in Florida have trouble catching witty sarcasm? If so, I was in big trouble. I'll remember that, he said. You knew? Come on, I'll show you where the office is. Somehow I made myself move down the unfamiliar hall with its unfamiliar smells and its unfamiliar faces. People watched me curiously like I was some new, unclassified species. I was so nervous, I was sure my knees were going to go out any second. All around me, students lined the hallway, digging in their lockers, checking their hair in compact mirrors, passing a soccer ball back and forth across the floor. Everything seemed to blur together. Would any of these people end up being my friend? Did I have anything in common with any of them? What if this school was too cliquey and no one wanted someone new to, you know, click with? So where do you come from anyway? I asked Daniel as we rounded the corner. I needed conversation to distract me from my insecure thoughts. I thought I was supposed to ask you that, he said. Aren't you the new girl? I laughed. No, I mean just now, when you saved me from a splat worse than death. Oh, I followed you to school, Daniel said, causing my heart to thump. I'm not a stalker or anything, I just live down the block from you. We should walk together sometime. Smiling on the outside, I tried to remember if I'd done anything super embarrassing on the walk to school, like pick a wedgie or talk to myself. Oh, God. I had tried to three-pointer my banana peel into a garbage can by the bleachers and missed by a mile. Had he seen that? So where did you move here from? Daniel asked. New Jersey. Really? Did you ever see anyone from The Sopranos? Such a boy thing to ask. No, and there were no attempted whackings at my old school either, I told him. Daniel laughed. Well, this is it, he said, stopping in front of a glass door marked Main Office. Good luck, Anissa, not Annie. I grinned. Thank you so much, I said, sounding a lot more breathless than usual. Hey, I know I wouldn't want to walk the halls of a new school alone, he said with a sympathetic grin. Or, you know, trip through them. Ha ha. Daniel started to back his way down the hall, somehow not stumbling over skateboards, books, and hundreds of feet in his path, all of which would have definitely sent me sprawling. See you later, he added, giving me a wave. I hope so, I thought with a smile. Maybe this new school thing wouldn't be so bad. Excellent record, Miss Gabrowski. Just excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I sat in the vinyl chair to the left of my new guidance counselor's desk, my hands clasped tightly in my lap. He held the manila folder containing my permanent file up in front of his round face, shaking his head, but in a good way, like he was awed by my many B pluses and occasional A's. When he lowered the file to his lap, he grinned, his rosy red cheeks growing even rosier. He reminded me of an inflated Christmas elf, or one of those lawn gnomes my grandmother has all over her yard in Chicago. Just excellent, he said again, his eyes twinkling. Ever hear a word so many times it starts to lose all meaning? Thanks, Mr. I trailed off, mortified. Already I couldn't remember his name. In one ear and out the other should really be my nickname. That or Miss Trips-a-Lot. Cuccinello, he said with a laugh. Not to worry, it's a tough one. Cuccinello, I repeated, wondering when he was going to let me go to class. The first day was always the toughest, and I wanted to get it over with. Besides, if he kept me here much longer, I was going to be late for homeroom, which meant no slipping in with the rest of the crowd, which meant big attention on me, which meant, "So, I bet you're a little nervous, huh?" Mr. Cuccinello said, tapping the edge of my file against the corner of his desk. Me? Nah. Brave girl. I like it, Mr. Cuccinello barked. As he said the words, he sat up straight for a split second like a firecracker going off, then settled back down again. He slipped a thin piece of paper off his desk and handed it to me. Now here's your schedule. You requested a music elective, so we've put you in concert choir. Are you a
sample complete. Ready to continue?